Are you nostalgic for a simpler time?
A time where controllers didn't have so many buttons.
A time where games weren't so overly complicated by so many plot devices.
Yeah.
Me too. I miss my NES.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games. But I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club. That's right, a podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library. Games like
Star Fox,
Super Mario World,
Kirby's Dream Land 3,
Echo the Dolphin,
Donkey Kong Country,
The Legend of Zelda,
Castlevania Bloodline,
Super Metroid,
Shining Force,
Balloon Fight,
Punch-Out,
Sonic 2,
F-Zero,
Banjo-Kazooie,
Tetris,
Pokemon Snap,
and so much more.
The Super Switch Club is a podcasters assemble style show from the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network.
A podcast where we peel away the veneer of nostalgia and play some unnecessarily difficult video games, just because our friends are playing them too.
So join us on the Super Switch Club, where you can relive the nostalgia of tearing your hair out over an NES game that loves to troll the shit out of you.
Fantastic. I'm thoroughly looking forward to this.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Best of all, you can too.
Head on over to probablywork.com/SuperSwitchClub now to learn more.
The following is an exclusive bonus episode. For more great content like this, help support us by going to patreon.com/podcastersassemble. Link in the show notes.
All right, so this is technically a regular Assembles episode, but it's a bonus episode. So you're hosting this one, Eric, right? I'm a guest.
Yeah, that's fine. I can host. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I don't know what the hell we're doing.
My basic idea was to split this into different parts. I just figured we talk about movie adaptations first, then move on to like the animated spinoff games, then the Arkham series, and then use the last section for everything else, like Lego Batman, Injustice, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, there we go. All right. I should probably click on the links that you send. I'm so sorry.
No, it's not a big deal.
6 pages, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, Stephen, nothing is easy with Eric. You're like, oh, we're going to have a casual conversation. There is 6 pages of shit, Eric. God damn it, you fucking overachiever. I love you. I love you so much.
So see, what happened was, I just figured this would be a good way to split it up.
I mean, we just did something like this on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Not this detailed oriented. I think it was a few weeks back.
I mean,
so this will be fun.
Yours is pretty detailed. But yeah, all right, I guess we'll jump into it. Welcome back to a bonus episode of Podcasters Assemble, or should I say Batcasters Assemble. Joining me today, we have Stephen White from the Super Mega Crash Brothers Turbo Podcast.
Hello!
And Zach Derby, the man himself.
Hello. I'm being tolerated again, thank you.
And today we're going to be talking about Batman games. There's a lot of them, as we're about to get into.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. You're still underselling this, Eric.
So, I guess before we jump in, do you guys want to talk at all about your history with the Batman video games? Like, growing up, was this, like, a big thing for you?
For me, the Batman games would have been the arcade game on occasion when I would play that side-scrolling. I remember it. I remember not getting too far, but I remember playing and having fun. The one that I did play a lot and still was awful at was the 89 NES game. I had an NES. I could rent it from the video store, which we've covered how, you know, what those were back in the ancient history of when we grew up. And I remember that being so hard, but I loved renting it and I loved playing it. And I meant to start it up and play it before we recorded this on the NES Classic, but that was really my Batman games that I went to. Once the Asylum Arkham games came out, those really caught my attention. Those were like the late 2000s, I think those started, and I've really enjoyed those. So that's really my experience in the Batman games.
My experience would probably be kind of hit or miss. I do remember the NES Batman 1989, the Tim Burton adaptation being my very first Batman game that I remember playing. And I don't remember getting too far in it because it was pretty difficult for, you know, a 10-year-old. You know, it was just kind of like, eh. But like most NES games, it had its difficulty level, and I'm sure I could do okay with it now. A lot of the games that kind of came after that, it was here or there that I would kind of play them. Like, I barely remember Returns. I remember dabbling in Forever because I remember that awkward, weird graphical style that it had. I don't remember Batman and Robin. I think there was a Batman and Robin animated series video game that was on the SNES that I played quite a bit, which was kind of fun. Batman Begins was that very first one that really kind of caught my attention, but it wasn't kind of like what Zach said, the Batman Arkham series that really clinched it, that I was just like, oh yeah, this is the Batman game that I want to play. Because there were a lot of others. I think there was even one on the GameCube that I remember, Vengeance, which was kind of based on the animated series, was... you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. At the time, it was about as good as it was going to get.
Exactly. It was great for the time. And then, of course, we got the Arkham games, and then everything else was just like, yeah, I'm not playing that other one again. we can't go back after this, you know?
Yeah. Once we got the Arkham series, you've got to go beyond this. You cannot take it below that, or otherwise it doesn't count anymore. So once the Arkham games kind of got set in stone, this was my Batman game, with the exception that I'm a very huge fan of the Lego games. Lego Batman, I'm all for it, because you're not just allowing me to play as Batman, you're allowing me to play as all these other DC characters, and they eventually turned it into open world. So yes, I'm going to indulge. Sure. So but for a true Batman game, the Arkham series is where it really kind of hits the nail on the head for me.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Eric?
So as we're about to get into, it was really the movie adaptation games, and a lot of them were terrible, but that's kind of what sucked me in. 'Cause there wasn't like a lot of, Batman content in video games just in general. Like, that's kind of what we had, you know, but yeah, I you know, I loved the, NES game, even though it was hard as hell. It's like seriously like Castlevania level hard, Mega Man 2 level hard.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's a good example. That's a good comparison right there.
Mm-hmm. It's been forever since I played it, but that's always what I equated it to, was I could only get so far, and then I get frustrated. But then in a month I go, oh, I could rent it and maybe try to play it again. Yeah, nope.
Exactly. Now, before we jump in, it looks like we just got another guest on the podcast.
Oh, we got a rock star.
Is that Chris? I'm assuming that's Chris.
Yeah, what's up, guys? It is.
Chris?
Can y'all hear me?
Are you wearing hockey pads?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I'm not wearing hockey pads. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Sorry.
Perfect. Well, you're just in time to talk about your history with the Batman games before we jump into the category.
Oh, well, yeah, I go way back. You know, I'm 1,000 years old, so I've been around since, you know, pre-NES days, but I had pretty much all of the games for Batman, for the NES, the Game Boy, the Super Nintendo. From there, I kind of jumped off of them for a while until the Arkham games, but I'm sure we'll get into all that. But yeah, I mean, I've been there since the...
Commodore 64?
No, good. No, that's Batman 2 on the NES? It was like Return of the Joker or Revenge of the Joker. It was a sequel to the Batman game, and it was called like The Joker's Revenge or Return of the Joker or something like that. And Return, it's just like the exact same game with some different stages. It's just as terrible as the first one.
All right. So, yeah, you guys ready?
Let's do it.
We're going to start with the movie adaptation games. I think that's a pretty good place to start since we just watched all the movies. First up, we got Batman 1989. There was actually a couple different versions of this. Obviously, the most popular version was the NES game, but there was also an arcade game. Are you guys familiar with that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I kind of remember it vaguely.
I did play it.
I think Steven and I, just based off some of his comments in the past, I feel like we're roughly the same age, so we probably have a lot of the same pop culture experiences. But Zach, you actually remember it?
I do remember it vaguely, and then Eric shared that that playthrough video earlier, and I took a couple minutes to watch it, and I said, I did play this, because I remembered Batman always running, holding his cape like this across the screen, which did nothing to protect him. But I do remember playing that. It was okay, but I think it paled in comparison to like Ninja Turtles or Simpsons or anything like that for an arcade game.
Totally.
But I did play it.
I remember seeing it in the arcades, and I almost forgot about it because it's very different from the NES game. It's not even the same type of game. It's not like a platformer. It's just a beat 'em up. But it's got way better graphics. Pretty impressive for the time. They included Batmobile and Batwing levels. There's like a first-person shooter game in it, which is kind of weird. But it had what was cool was it included...
Was it
like
multiplayer?
I don't think that
one. Not that I remember.
But it included like the Danny Elfman music. It had quotes from the movie, like really bad, like 8-bit versions of the quotes. and then like images and stuff, which is cool. But yeah, the NES game's where it's at. What always stuck with me is that Batman was purple, which is kind of interesting. Like, it was a weird design, but I guess it made sense because the backgrounds and stuff, a lot of weird dark backgrounds, and he had to kind of stand out.
Oh, yeah. In NES for
for the NES version.
It looked weird. And then what always stuck out with me about the NES version is when your life would go away, Batman would explode into the bat signal and then just slowly, it's like Thanos snapped and then he exploded into dust.
It's almost like Mega Man, like the way he dies, he just explodes.
Yeah,
that would have been great if they put that at the end of Dark Knight Rises.
That would have been great.
Up next we have Batman Returns. Now once again, there's a couple different versions of this game, although these ones are a little bit more similar from what I understand. We have the SNES, Genesis, Game Gear, and then the Sega CD one. Big difference here is that Sega CD had like Batmobile levels and better graphics throughout.
And this was a beat 'em up, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like Final Fight, I want to say.
Yeah.
It was fine. It wasn't terrible or anything like that, but it was pretty forgettable. Like a lot of Batman Returns stuff, unfortunately, but it's not terrible.
I do remember that the game included like the Red Triangle Circus Gang as like the enemies in the game, which I thought was kind of cool that they incorporated them. But yeah, it was a little bit repetitive. You know, it was a lot of the same kind of stages and enemies throughout.
But I mean, a lot of the games at that time, they were a lot of, that was the style. Beat 'em ups were the big thing in the 1990s.
Oh, totally. So I definitely still had
just
fun.
Fitting the bill. That's all.
They were probably pretty cheap to make too.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and it was a licensed game, so, you know, they only put so much effort into these. And it seems like as we're now, going down the list, they put less and less effort in, as we'll see. I feel like. Yeah.
At this point, when Batman Returns got taken over, this is about the time that they got taken over by Konami, and Sunsoft, I think, had them prior to this for several games, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And then Konami got a hold of it, and then that's when it turned into a kind of a beat-em-up for a while.
That makes sense.
That's my gamer knowledge. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm bringing to the table. I did the history on this. That's what I'm doing.
Totally.
That's so funny. I had forgotten about, was it Sunsoft? I had forgotten about them completely. Yeah. That's hilarious.
I remember they made some good games. I can't name any of them right now, but...
Exactly.
I remember seeing that logo with the ding, you know, the little jingle, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. Up next, we have Batman Forever. Now, there was, once again, an SNES version, a Genesis version, and then an arcade version, which was, again, very different, like a totally different style of game and everything. But the more popular versions that most people played are the Super Nintendo and the Genesis versions. I think I had the SNES version myself. I mean, when I say maybe that's a wrong phrase to use there, but I think those are the ones that people are more familiar with.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, they're not great.
Yeah, Eric, you and I talked about Batman Forever way back on like an early episode of Comic Zombie. We were talking about comic book video games, and it was on my five worst of all time list. And granted, there we were doing like one per character. So Batman Forever was my, this is the worst Batman game for considering the platform it was on and everything like that. The problem for me is that that particular game just wasn't really that playable. The mechanics were all janky as crap, and I don't believe, and Eric, I think we might have talked about this, where like you never got past the second level. Mm-hmm. Because there was a part where,
yeah,
almost like a Castlevania 2 level, like F you to the fans.
It's infuriating.
Where you had to know, like, do this specific combination of buttons in this corner with like no hint whatsoever.
Yes. To use Batman the Forever, grappling hook.
It was just, I remember,
so complicated. And it was necessary to get past certain sections. But it was like a Mortal Kombat move. You had to do like a combo just to do the freaking grappling hook. It didn't make any sense. It was, God.
It was the first Batman game that tried to do that, at least make it look like that very popular look at the time, the pixelated, well, they're all pixelated, but the almost like digitized people, like Pit Fighter and Mortal Kombat. It did not quite work. It's very stiff looking, almost like Street Fighter, the movie, the game, which just makes my soul want to die. But yeah, Forever, I remember being hyped on it because I think it came out before the movie. And for some reason, I had convinced myself that movie was going to be legit. And, you know, we've all made our opinions known on it one way or the other, but, I remember Batman Forever for Super Nintendo was one of like the more significant bummers, for my Super Nintendo ownership.
Totally.
Now, I just looked up one. I don't think it's on your list. And if it is later, I apologize. Batman Forever Pinball.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not familiar with that. That's great.
So I want to say I may have played this because it was for Sega Pinball, and you remember Sonic Pinball also. That kind of was their big push initially. And then they started making all these different pinball games for different movies, and just it was all pinball, but all different themed. I kind of vaguely remember this. You would use the Batwing cannon to rotate and aim the balls across the playing field. They use clips from the film, so it's obviously awful.
Does Riddler shout joygasm?
When you get to 25 points, yes.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not at all.
I thought you were reading the Wikipedia. it wouldn't surprise me, you know?
I vaguely remember this, but I forgot all about it until I was scrolling through and going, holy crap, a pinball version of Batman Forever. That sounds awful.
So when I got Batman Forever, the SNES game, I was at an age where like I couldn't really differentiate between whether games were poorly made or not. So like I just assumed it was something wrong with me. Like I thought I sucked at the game. So I played the shit out of this game and like got really good at it. I still couldn't get past the third level, and that's when I gave up. But like I put more hours into this game than I'd like to admit. I will say it looked pretty cool at the time, because like it had those Mortal Kombat style assets, which kind of looked a little bit more real, I guess, for games at the time. And some of like the level design was kind of cool, but like we said, it was janky, frustrating, and the controls just didn't make any sense. Also, there wasn't a save feature or a password system.
I mean, and this is not uncommon in games up to this point. You just, like you said, you just had to realize there was that point. The one game that this makes me remember exactly what you're talking about, Ninja Gaiden. Level six.
Oh, yeah.
I think level five or six.
Bro.
I feel like it was level six. There was this one part. You had to jump a gap. But every time you jumped the gap, there's a bird that would float in.
Yes.
And hit you. That's always where I would get stuck. And I was like,
dude,
fuck this bird.
I'm getting so mad just remembering that.
And I never understood it. I was like, what am I doing wrong? How am I supposed to dodge the bird when the bird keeps showing up exactly when I jump? It just doesn't make sense. So like you said, you continued because you're like, I know I can do this. I know I'm just doing it wrong, and I'm going to continue to do it. It was poor level design. That's what it was.
Exactly. The last note I have on this one is that I looked this up because I've never gotten that far in the game. The final boss was like a hulking Bane like Riddler for some reason. Like, it makes no sense. Like, look at the screenshots of the final boss in this game. It's just weird. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, that comes up in a game later.
For the Batman Forever game we've been talking about?
Yeah. That's the final boss is like, you fight Riddler.
I've never seen it.
Riddler on steroids.
Now.
He looks like Mr. Universe.
What
like,
the fuck? Make any sense.
And he's in that what? Weird white
Look
costume.
At him. He looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Like, so, Batman what? Forever final boss.
Yeah, you guys got to look at the image.
Wow.
Yeah, just SNES Batman Forever final boss. Like immediately you'll see it. What the fuck?
Like a reject from Clay Fighter.
Oh god, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. This looks like Clay Fighter. Yeah. Holy crap.
Be honest though. If that happened in the movie, it wouldn't have made any difference one way or the other. I don't think anyone would have been like, it was good until he got all banged up, or it was awful until he got all banged up. It would just be like, yeah, okay, let's just finish this fucking
Makes
movie.
Sense.
Oddly enough, it kind of reminds me of the ending of the first Arkham game, which we'll get into, but that also felt a little out of place, you know? But anyways, up next we have Batman and Robin, the PlayStation game. Has anyone played this piece of trash?
I have not.
No.
No. I never owned a PlayStation.
For the PS1, right?
So,
PS1, Batman and Robin. I don't even know what it looks like. I'm just looking out of curiosity. Oh, that's
I saw video footage when I was doing research for the bit that I did for our show a few weeks back. That's about as far as I've gotten into it.
Yeah, now thankfully I never...
Just seeing the cover of the game and seeing Clooney's little smirk makes me want to like never go within 100 feet of it.
Yeah, thankfully I dodged the bullet on this one too. Like terrible. I didn't play this growing up, but I have watched a playthrough and it was pretty painful. It's got really terrible graphics. Yeah, it's got some of the worst cutscenes imaginable. And the controls don't make any sense apparently. But what's weird is it's like they tried to do GTA before GTA 3. So it's like got this open world style game, and you're driving around with the Batmobile and then you're just beating up random thugs. But some of the characters look like just random citizens that you start beating up. Like it's weird.
I just watched Batman punch out a hooker and then she exploded.
Yeah,
maybe he
and
was
look
wrong
at the Mr.
You never get the trigger to an organization.
Yeah, look at the Mr. Freeze animation. It's horrendous. Ugh.
Oh my god,
this is awful.
Who made this? What the fuck? Who did this to the humanity?
Well, Acclaim.
The less said about
Acclaim
that game,
Entertainment.
Well, that says enough.
Oh, there you go. That
developed by Probe Entertainment, published by Acclaim.
And Tiger Electronics too. Remember Tiger Electronics?
I've been wanting to do an article on that.
Oh, you should. There's some. Oh man, yeah.
You should. Those games were. I'm not gonna say good, but I had a bunch of them when I was really little.
Yeah.
Now we get our last movie adaptation game, which was Batman Begins. This is released for GameCube, PS2, Xbox, and there was even a version for Game Boy Advance, although. A lot of times those were kind of throwaway. I haven't played this one in particular.
I do remember this one because I have vague recollections that I remember it came out at a certain period and I went straight to the video store, got a copy, went home and no one was home and I was like, I'm going to play this. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. Compared to some of the ones we've had afterwards, it's not as good. But at the time, it was... not bad for a Batman game. It had its flaws, obviously, but you were like, okay, now I'm finally getting to be Batman. I'm getting to kind of do something Batman-esque that felt a little bit more on point. And I remember even had some special bonus costumes that were more comic accurate. It was a little ridiculous seeing Christian Bale in a blue and gray outfit, but still fun nonetheless.
Yeah, graphics actually look pretty good for a 2005 game. Clearly, they don't hold up now, but they, I think for 2005, like it looked pretty good, especially driving. It goes into like slow-mo cam when you're taking out thugs.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a pretty well-developed game.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of like Burnout. The Tumblr levels were awesome. I do remember that. There was some cool stealth style stuff in the game. Like it really laid the groundwork for the Arkham games later on in that respect, I think, because like you would have to like distract criminals and use fear tactics and things like that. So like Steven was saying, it was like the first game that where you actually felt like you were Batman a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm almost positive, if I remember my research correctly, the game after this, they were going to make a Dark Knight adaptation, yeah, but it fell through, which kind of opened the door for Arkham Asylum to actually happen, luckily.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, that worked out. But I've always been kind of curious about what that next game would have been. You know, like riding around on the Batpod and stuff. Supposedly it was going to be open world, but I don't think the game was even finished. Like, I think they started on it.
They started on it, but what happened is the idea, the concept was, at the time, weird to think about, but at the time, the idea of such an open world was just far-fetched in the gaming world. They were just like, we cannot handle this, so they canceled it, and then that allowed the other developer to say, well, you know what, maybe we'll give it a try, and then they waited for the technology to catch up, and then they were able to do kind of Asylum, which was slightly not open world, but sort of, but it was city that they kind of opened it up, and then Knight really kicked the door open.
Definitely, definitely. I will say, though, Spider-Man 2 came out before this, didn't it? And that was kind of one of the first open world games, so that's pretty impressive that they were able to pull that off.
Perhaps they got a little ahead of themselves on what they considered open world, or at least what they were considering, because that is bizarre now that you mention it. Yeah, it would have been around the same time.
And I guess the last thing to mention about Batman Begins is that they included a lot of the voices from the movie, which is kind of cool. Like, I believe Liam Neeson's in it, and then a few others from the cast.
That was my favorite thing about it. When it came out, I was working at Blockbuster Video, and I rented it like, what's the harm, right? It's free. And I actually liked it a lot more than I expected to, like you guys did. And Steven, you mentioned the customization of the costumes is like kind of one of the selling points. And I remember laughing really hard. And I really hope I'm not like crossing my wires, like mixing memories or whatever. But I remember putting him in the Adam West suit. So he's got like the little eyebrows on and stuff and going like, you know, Swermer and all that shit, but looking like
something like that in there,
That might not have happened to the Arkham games, but yeah, it's something like that, exactly. It's probably not as cool as I'm remembering, but I had fun with it.
If you like this episode, check out our Patreon for more great content like this and help support us to keep this show going.
If you're a fan of this podcast
and want to see it continue,
help support us on Patreon,
where you can unlock tons of exclusive content,
including, but not limited to,
movie commentaries,
ad-free versions of our promo specials,
extended cuts,
early access to new episodes,
behind-the-scenes clips,
first access to merchandise,
blooper reels,
and even a chance to vote on what we cover next on our Podcasters Disassembled episodes.
Just head right on over to patreon.com/podcastersassemble.
That's patreon.com/podcastersassemble.
Link in the show notes.